Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Pei Tes. We will begin in Daf Pei Tes, Amud Aleph, the third line. Malkum Shenam Nagu Lamed Begasa. Agamar begins to discuss the various halachas regarding weighing and honesty and measures. Gemara first begins with a simen, which as we always like to read, because it's a skula to remember the Gemara we're going to learn. Simen Eima Ayin Vein Goitshin Bar Godavin, Ublitra, Shloish Vesa Nefesh, Mishkoilis, Memachik Avalo Sathulo Yasa. Tanabon, as we discussed, when somebody buys a cupful or any a panful of an item, it could be a heaping amount or it could be leveled. Teaches us the Braisa. Menayin Shei Marech Memachim Shegoychim, then in a place the minig is to give a heaping amount, one may not level it. Vein goitshim b'makom shemoichin. Nor may you give a heaping amount in a place where the minig is to level it. Temloimer eifa shleimer. You have to follow the minig. And as the Rashbam, and this is the pshat that we're going to work with, explains what the Brice is teaching us. Obviously, we're not referring to a situation where the buyer or the seller are not agreeable. Of course, if the buyer or the seller insist that the minig hamokom be followed, the minig hamokom has to be followed. Agamar is referring to a situation where the buyer and seller are both agreeable not to follow the minig hamakom. Still, the Gemara is teaching us that because people may see what's happening in this transaction and not realize that it's a unique situation where the buyer and seller agree to follow this type of process, therefore the halacha is you have to follow the minig hamakom. Continues the Braisa. I'm willing to take a level amount instead of a heaping amount, and pay less, for as the halacha is, the goydish, the heap, represents a third more than when it's leveled, and they'll agree that the buyer will pay less because he's getting a third less than he ought to, or vice versa. I'm going to take a heaping amount in a place where normally it's leveled, and I'll pay for that extra. And I'll pay for that extra. That too should not be done. And as the Rashbam explains the Gemara, in the first case, there was no money being paid or deducted for not following the minhag hamakom. There was just an agreement between the two individuals. So we were thinking that an agreement alone will not prevent the maris ayin, that people will not realize it's a unique situation. But in the second case that we just learned, that not only is there agreement, but it's being reflected in the price that's being paid, that should perhaps prevent any concern for maris ayin. Teaches us the Gemara that even if money is, the Braisa, that even if money is paid, we have to be concerned for Maris Ayin, and therefore it should not be done. Continues the Gemara. Tanabar, Menayin Sheim Ayin Vemokim Shem Achriim. Then the place where the meaning is that they tilt the scale, as we discussed in the Mishnah yesterday, to make sure that the buyer is getting as much as he's supposed to. Menayin Sheim Ayin Vemokim Shem Achriim. If the minig hamokim is that they tilt the scale, the buyer and the seller cannot agree, well, we'll sell it exactly balanced. Or vice versa, they machrim b'mokish ma'ainen, tam loimer, im even shleimer. You have to follow the most honest approach. Furthermore, as we just learned, omayin shemay ma'arenim ma'ayin shemokish ma'achrim. Usually here there's a tilt, but we'll balance it equally. And lufchas l'merdamen, I'll pay less. Or, harenim ma'achrim b'mokish ma'ainim. And since it's going to be tilted, and therefore the buyer is going to get normally more than he normally would, and he'll pay the extra shein shemeloi, that we don't accept that. Tamalaimer, even shleimer, of a tzedek. You have to do what the minhag hamakom is. And again, the Rashbam explains this gemara as explained the previous gemara. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Maram Shik, which is very relevant to this gemara, very relevant to la halacha lemaisa. He says, our Gemara, the Gemaras that we were learning, the Gemaras that we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, are very, very specific in teaching us that measuring, weighing, has to be done in the most honest way possible. So ask the Maram Shik that the Gemara says Masechta Shabbos, where in Shabbos the halacha is that you're not allowed to weigh or you're not allowed to measure. So if I want to borrow something from you, and I need to know how much I'm going to repay, we approximate, we estimate, we don't make it exact, because it would involve measuring or weighing. Ask the Maram Shik that if our Gemara is being so particular about weighing and measuring, how could the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, well, we don't have to be so careful. So Maram Shik says a very big chiddush. He says that on Shabbos, the minhag hamakom is that whenever I borrow something on Shabbos, whoever it is, or whenever you lend me something on Shabbos, we're not particular to be exact. And in a situation where that becomes the minhag hamakom, that supersedes all other halachas. Where is this particularly relevant, l'halacha l'maisa? Where it's relevant is regarding the question that is done nowadays. In most stores, nowadays they have electronic scales. The electronic scales are perfect to the ounce, to the millimeter. So the question is, Algemar talks about giving extra. How's extra given when you have an electronic scale? The answer is that since this has become the minhag hamakom where we are nowadays, that everybody uses these electric scales that are so precise, the minhag hamakom prevails. And that's why, even though there isn't any extra given from the seller to the buyer, there is no issue of gotchim and marchim, there's electric scale which is accurate. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mesura. The Pasuk says, La yilcha b'beischa. The Torah says, you will not have in your home what you need. How does somebody, chas v'shalom, end up in such a situation that he doesn't have in his home what he needs to have? Matam, mishum eifa v'eifa. If he has dishonest weights, the punishment is that he won't have enough in his home. Similarly, la yilcha b'kischa, you won't have enough money in your pocket. Matam, how does that happen? Mishum evan v'evan. That a person doesn't have honest weights in his pockets. Avol, however, if somebody, evan shleim v'tzedek, he is careful to have precise weights, what will be the bracha? Yilcha. Then he will, Baruch Hashem, have what he needs. Eif v'shleim v'tzedek. If he's careful, yilcha, he'll have what he needs. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabban yilcha. Melamed shemamidim agdamim lemidais. Inspectors are appointed, supervisors are appointed to make sure that the measures are honest. Ve'ein mamidim agdamim l'sharim. But we don't appoint supervisors by the city aren't appointed to make sure the price gouging isn't done. And the Mefarshim explain why do we appoint supervisors for the weights and not supervisors for the price? They say very poshut. If I walk into a store and the weights are inaccurate, there's no way I really know unless it's very obvious. So the only way to make sure that's 100% honest is by having inspectors. When it comes to price gouging, if I walk into a store and I feel that I'm being overcharged, so just don't buy. And therefore, price gouging, Chazal did not see the need to appoint inspectors. That's one pshat. We'll see other pshatim soon. However, says the Gemara, the Bei Nasiya, from the house of the Nasi, Ukimu Agdamim Bein L'midas Bein L'sharim. They did appoint inspectors, both for the weights and the measures, and for the prices. And as the Mefarshim explained, what is the Machloikis here all about? The Torah says explicitly regarding somebody being honest, l'man yarichin yomecha, that there's a reward for being honest. There'll be zoychat harichas yomim. And we have a rule throughout Shas that any mitzvah that there's matan tzchor b'tzido, where the Torah tells us the reward, bezin doesn't get involved. The Torah already tells you your reward. However, when it comes to this honest weight, besides that there's a mitzvah say, as we're learning, there's also a lav. For the lav, there's no matan tzchor b'tzidoi. But that lav only speaks to weights. It doesn't speak to pricing. So that's why the Tanna Kamma holds that only for weights do we appoint inspectors, not for pricing. The Beis Nesiyah held a very interesting pshat. When we always learn throughout Shas the rule that a mitzvah, that there's a matan schar b'tzida where the Torah gives us the reward, Bezdin doesn't get involved, it doesn't mean that Bezdin is not allowed to get involved. Bezdin doesn't have to get involved. But if they feel that even though the Torah gives us the schar for this mitzvah, they still need to be involved to make sure it's fulfilled, they're allowed to. And therefore, even though there's a matan schar b'tzida in the Torah for being honest in the pricing, still, Bezdin, the Beis Nesiyah felt, should get involved. Says the Gemara, an incident. Amalei Shmuel Karna. Shmuel told Karna, Puk Tanilhu, go teach in the yeshiva, Mamidim Agdomen Lamidis. We do appoint inspectors for measures, for weights. They Mamidim Agdomen Lasharma. We don't appoint them for prices. Nafat Darshlu, he didn't listen. And what he said was, Mamidim Agdomen, inspectors should be appointed, Bein Lamidus, Bein Lasharim, for both. Amalei. So Shmuel got very upset. I was very explicit in telling you what you should say, and you didn't say what I told you. So he said, Ma Shemcha, what is your name? Karna. So he said, Tepa Karnalei Ba'arne. A horn should come out of your eye. Many of us say means that you should develop Chas V'Shalom cataracts. And indeed, that's what happens. Nafgalei Karna Ba'ane. V command sover. He who acted this way, Karna, why did he do this? Just disobeying what Shmuel told him. Because he held Kihad Amram Bachama, Amrav Yitzchak, who he holds, Mamidim Agdomim Bein Lamidus Bein Lasharim Ne'aramon. Mepharshim discuss this punishment. So Mepharshim give two explanations why Karna was punished in his eyes. One pshat is that he showed disrespect for Shmuel. We know that the Gedolei Yisrael are called the Einei Ha'eda. So since they're called the Einei Ha'eda, Karna, who showed disrespect for Shmuel, got punished with his eyes. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada suggests is that a person, a child, when he's born and he's named by his parents, obviously it's the parents' choice what to name their child. But that name, Minas Shemayim, they create a situation that the name a person has really reflects who he is. When Karna was born, and his parents named him the name Karna, it was a reflection of what ultimately would happen, that Karna would come out of his eyes. But as the Rashbam, Al-Gemar says that why was Karna punished this way? Because as we learned, because he disobeyed Shmuel's instructions. But he says that we learned the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that says that the reason Karna was punished was because Rav came, and Karna went to check and test him if he was indeed a Talmud Chacham. And because of that disrespect, he was punished. So how do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So the Rashbam says, Zev Zegar. The two incidents together caused that to happen to him. But I saw another pshat. He was punished twice, once in his right eye, and once in his left eye, for each act that he did. Continues the Gemara. Tana Bonin. Hoyim evakshmen a litra. If I want to buy from you a litra, shekel a litra. So there's a litra weight, and that's how they would weigh. Chatzi litra. If I want to buy from you a half a liter of something, shekel a chatzi litra. Revi a litra. If I want to buy from you a quarter of a litra of something, shekel a revi a litra. You should give me a quarter of a litra. You have a quarter of a litra weight, and that's how you weigh it. As for Mike Mashal, what's the Brisa teaching us? Answers the Gemara, the Maskin Le Miskli at Hachi. We only make weights, these type of weights. And I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim as to why. One pshat in the Rishonim is that Chazal did not want smaller weights than the quarter of a liter weight to be made, because Chazal were concerned that if smaller weights will be made, people will get confused between the smaller weights, and it will lead to cheating. Another pshat is the Chazal want to establish a system of half weights. So a half a liter is a half of a whole liter. A quarter is a half of a half. Again, you have to probably rely on the first pshat, otherwise you can make an eighth of a liter pshat. Or others say eighth of a liter is so small that there's no point in it. Tana Bonim. Hayim avakshmen ishloish revi litra. If I want to buy from you 3/4 of a liter of meat, Lo yaymaloi. What should not be done is shal kali shloish revi litra achas achas. Don't weigh out 3 quarters separately. The reason being, as we have been discussing already from the previous year, every time you weigh, you have to have achra. You have to get, the seller has to give extra. So if when I buy from you the piece of meat, it's going to be weighed 3 times, you're going to have to give me 3 times extra. It's unfair to you. Rather, what should be done? Shoyka litra, umneach rit revi litra mebasar. What we should do is as follows. On one side, have a liter weight, and on the other side, have 3 quarters of a liter of meat, which is what I'm buying, and put in the quarter liter weight, and then when they balance, I know I got 3 quarters of a liter of meat. Ask the Mefarshim, why don't we do it the other way around? Have on one side a quarter. No, on one side have a three, have three. Okay, we'll go further. Tara bottom. If I want to buy from you 10 liters of meat, as we just learned, give me 1 liter at a time and add. Do it in one weighing. As we just learned, because too many, it's unfair to the seller. But before we get into the next Gemara, we have to sort of describe how the scales look. The scale was either suspended from the ceiling with a bar, a vertical bar, or it was from the floor with a vertical bar. Then there was a horizontal bar. In the place where the horizontal and the vertical bar meet, there's some sort of a bearing which helps tilt that horizontal bar. That's called the nefesh. And then suspended from the horizontal bar by string are 2 pins where the item that I'm buying and the weights were put. Says the Braisa, nefesh miznayim, how much distance should there be from that nefesh, from the ceiling, tluya ba'av gimel tfachim. There should be 3 tfachim distance between it and the ceiling. Or, if it's suspended from the earth, as we just said, gvayim and arutz, shloshet tfachim. Why? So Rishayim give 2 explanations. One explanation is, because in certain cases, which the Gemara will identify, till now we learned that how much hechra do you normally have to give? A tefach. But in certain situations you have to give a hechra of 3 tfachim. So that's why you have to have enough space for 3 tfachim hechra. Another pshat is, if the things will be too close to the ceiling, we're concerned that they're going to bang to the ceiling or bang on the floor and then rebound, and not be an exact balance. So you want to give the proper distance. V'kara u'misnishla shnei mas tfachim. Which most Rishonim explain that the distance, that the entire length of the bar and the 2 strings that the pins are connected to that bar should be a total of 12 tfachim. Shatzmar mishal zagigim. The scale used by people who sell wool or material. There it should be tluy ba'avishni tfachim. 2 tfachim suspension is adequate, or gvayim and arut shnei tfachim is adequate. And there, the total of the kano misna is only 9 tfachim. Shel chenvani v'shel balabayis, a storekeeper who sells even smaller and lighter items, tluy ba'avir tefach, a tefach suspension is adequate, gvayim and arut is tefach, and there, the total length of the kano misna shalah is enough to be shisha tfachim. V'shel trutni are people who sell gold. So when you sell gold, you sell it by the ounce, so it's very light. There it's adequate that it should be tluya ba'avir shlosh etzpas, or gevay min ha'aretz shlosh etzpas. And there the economist says the price any day, how long it should be their combined length. Ask the Gemara, if we've spoken about all these scales, and always said that you could have a shorter distance between the ceiling and the scale. So the first case that the Braisa discussed, where 3 tfachim are required, where is that you need so much as 3 tfachim? Amra, papa, de grumui. These are the scales used by people. people who are blacksmiths, they use very heavy metal, and therefore there the hechra is 3 tefachim, and therefore it has to be suspended by 3 tefachim. Continues the Gemara. Amr amoni bapatish. Kederach sh'amr li yisurim, kach amr li yintamasam. Which means that we know, we've discussed many times, a keli is makabel tumah, is susceptible to kabbalah's tumah. Says the Gemara, if we have a scale that is not kosher, so to speak, so that scale is not considered a keli, and therefore that scale will not be makabel tumah. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Tysus explains the Gemara differently. He says you can't say that the pan of a scale, which is a certainly usable pan, just because it's part of a non-kosher, non-proper scale, is not considered a keli. So Tysus says the pan will always be a keli, whether it is or isn't part of a acceptable scale. The question is the other parts of the scale, which the Gemara always calls yodos, will they have the status of yodos or not? Because the halachas yodos of a keli are also makabel tumah. There it makes a difference. If it's a kosher scale, they do have the status of a yodos and will be makabel tumah, otherwise they won't. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though normally you may have a situation that there's a keli which may not be usable for Jews, but it's usable for goyim, and therefore it's still considered a keli, here, explained the Mefarshim, an accurate scale may not be used by goyim either, and therefore it's completely not considered a keli. The Stipler asks an interesting question. He says, Al Gemara is saying that a keli, the scale, which is not usable because it's inaccurate, it wasn't constructed properly, is not a keli. Yet by food, says the Stipler, the halacha is that even food which is not edible to anyone, if it's food, it is considered food to be makabel tumah. So he asks, why is the din by food different than the din by kalim? So he says a teretz, but he doesn't give a basis for his teretz, but it's a nice teretz. He says, by food, we don't look at this piece of food. We look at the min. So maybe this particular piece of food that I have in front of me is non-edible to anybody halachically, but since it's a piece of bread, so it's makabel tumah. By keli, we don't look at the min. We don't say that this is a keli. We say, if this specific keli that I have in front of me can't be used, then even though other kalim like this are kalim, it would be, it's not makabel tumah. But again, he doesn't explain why we treat kalim different than eichlim. Ask the Gemara, what is Rav Papa teaching us that we haven't, what is Ramani Bapatish teaching us that we haven't actually learned in the Mishnah? My Kamashma, Tanina, isn't this something that we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Midas that says, Chut Mazdaim Shel Chavoni Vishabal Batim Tefach? So we know that it has to have these Shiurim. So what is, and if they don't have these Shiurim, they're not considered Kalim, and they're not Makabel Tumah. So what is he teaching us that we haven't learned? Answers the Gemara, Kana Mishnah Shema Istrichalei. What we need to learn here is that not just that the Keli is considered an honest scale, a real scale, is dependent on if it's properly suspended, but also the length of the bar and the horizontal bar and the strings also are used in determining if it is or isn't considered a Keli. Istrichalei Deloy Tanan. Tanabonim. Furthermore, says the Baisa, Enois Mishkoilus, Loy shall eitz, don't make it out of wood. Loy shall even not out of lead. Loy shall gestorin is a different type of metal. Veloy shall shamine matches or other types of metal. Avloy shall tsuma make it out of rock or shall zchuchus out of glass. Why? So I saw 2 pshatim in the Rishonim. 1 pshat in the Rishonim I saw is because metal corrodes. And you won't realize that your weight corroded. And it's inaccurate. Glass and stone don't. Another pshat is that metal, when you put a greasy item on metal, the grease adheres to the metal and will therefore change the true weight. Whereas stone and glass are smoother and grease doesn't stick to them. Continues the Gemara. Ein oisim hamachak shel delas. We spoke at the beginning of our shir that in certain places they used to give heaping. When you buy a measure of something, it's given to you heaping. So they had something which was called a machak, which leveled off or at some place they gave it to you level. How do you level it off? By using a keli called a machak. Says the Braisa, Ein oisang hamachak shadalas. Don't make it out of cucumber. Why? Neshukal. It's too light, and we're afraid that since it's so light, it's going to go too deep into the pile and take off more than you ought to. On the other hand, v'lo shel matches, don't make it out of metal, neshumach, but it's too heavy. Avaloisei shel zayis, make it out of olive wood, v'shel egois, walnut wood, shel shikma, is sycamore, v'shel ishbroira, that's the proper white. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Tan Rabbanan, in discussing this machak, Ein oisin es hamachak tzida achar av, tzida achar katzar. Don't make it uneven, one side wider than the other. Also, because you may use the wrong side for different situations. Furthermore, says the Braisa, La yimchak pas achas, when you're leveling, don't do it in one leveling. Shemaychak pas achas, if you do it in one shot, ra lemaychav yofel lekeach. You won't level enough, and the buyer will end up getting more than he deserves. On the other hand, don't do it slowly, because then you're going to take off too much, which will be good for the buyer, bad for the buyer, but too good for the seller. Akula, says the Gemara, and the Gemara just listed a number of dinim, which could be misused. Which could be misused. Because a person who wants to be dishonest will make, just let's use the last Gemara that we learned, will make the machak out of wrong material and end up perhaps cheating his buyer. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan said, Oyli im Oymer, Oyli im Lo Oymer. I don't know what to do. Mefarshim explained why was Rabbi Yochanan particularly the one concerned. So one pshat I saw the Mefarshim. Because Rabbi Yochanan was an individual who was very careful never to say anything that was a dvarim b'talim, that was unnecessary. So now he was analyzing, are these halachas that should be repeated, or are these halachas that should not be repeated? Another pshat that I saw is a very nice pshat. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, was the great Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was also a businessman. So a person who was just learning in yeshiva, who was just the rav his whole life, and never had any practical experience in business, would think, who is going to start doing these kind of things? People in yeshiva may assume, like the people in yeshiva are honest, that the rest of the world is honest. Rabbi Yochanan, who was in the real world, saw that people, unfortunately, at times, are dishonest. So now he doesn't know what to do. If, on one hand, you have to teach the halacha. There are halachas that we're learning here. On the other hand, he may be revealing to people tricks that we don't want them to know. So what should I do? Oylim Oymer, Oylim Loy Oymer. Im Oymer, if I will say over this, halachas, Shemim Yudu HaRamon, people will learn how to act dishonestly. V'lim Loy Oymer, Shemim Yudu HaRamon, Ein Tamid Chom B'kei B'masi Yedeinu. They don't know what to do. Ibar Elohu, so now the Gemara asks, so what did he do? Amrei Loy Oymer, did he say it or not? Says the Gemara, Amra, Shmuel by Yitzchak, Amra. At the end, he decided to repeat the halacha. Why? Because Mahai ka Amra. Ki Sharam Darche Hashem, Tzadikim Yechubam Pashtin Kashtimahem. We have the obligation to learn Torah. We have the obligation to teach Torah. If Chas V'Sholem, the Torah will be misused, that should not be the Rebbe's consideration. The Rebbe's consideration is that we have to know all of Torah. Continues the Gemara, and learning the Brises. Tanabana loy sas oval b'mida b'mishpat b'mida loy sas oval b'mida b'mishko b'masura b'mida. So medida sakaka refers to measuring a piece of ground. If you want to measure a piece of land, shloyim de lecha b'maisa chama lecha b'maisa b'shamim. Mechloikis Rashbam and Tosfos how to learn the Gemara. The Rashbam says that in the winter, if you have a rope made out of material, it's likely to expand. In the summer, when it's hot, it's likely to contract. So if you want to measure the same piece of property in the winter, in the summer, you can't use the same rope, because it won't give you an accurate read. That's the Rashbam's pshat. Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos says, don't measure the same piece of property in the winter, in the summer, Because in the winter, the property, the land itself expands, whereas in the summer, the land contracts. What's the nafkamina between the pshat in their countries where it didn't rain in the summer? What's the nafkamina between the Rashbam and Tosfos? Let's say you'll have a measuring stick made out of wood. Not wood. Let's say you have it made out of metal that doesn't get affected by the dampness, by humidity. So there you can measure with the same measuring stick, according to the Rashbam, both in the winter and the summer. But if the problem is in the earth itself, then you can't use the same, you can't measure the same land in the winter and the summer. Continues the Gemara. B'mishkol, shlayim yatmin mishkolos b'melech. Don't put your weights into salt. And machlokes rishayim, why? It's interesting. It's just the opposite pshat, one from the other. Rashbam explains, by putting your weights into salt, they become heavier, and it's dishonest. Tosfos learns just the opposite. By putting the weights into salt, the salt eats away at some of the metal and makes it lighter than they're really supposed to be. B'mesura, shlo yasiach. Which, now, before we go further, the Farshim ask, why do we need, this is a very important concept as we get into the Gemara, why do we need a special din that you're not allowed to put your weights into salt, whether whatever pshat we learned, Rashbam or Tosfos, makes it heavier or lighter? We've been learning already for 2 days, the sugya, that you have to be honest in your weights. So obviously you can't make your weights dishonest. So why do we have to have this isser? So Tosfos is obviously bothered with this question. And Tosfos explains that the Gemara is teaching us a chiddush. Let's say I have the weights. I'm not using the weights. I just put the weight into salt. And now the weight becomes inaccurate because the salt makes it heavier or lighter. Even though I didn't use that weight, it's ready also to do it. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. That's one pshat. Tosfos pshat. Other Rishonim explain that the chiddush of the Gemara here is that by putting your weight into salt, yes, it creates that it shouldn't be exactly accurate. But it's very minimal that's going to make it heavier or lighter. And therefore, the amount that the buyer will be cheated is less than a pruta. And we know throughout Halacha that the sheer gzela is a pruta. Teaches us our Gemara, Gevaldige Chiddush, that when it comes to dishonest weights, midoraisa, the isser is to have, if you weigh less than a pruta, you over the isser deraisa as if it would have been a pruta. In other words, the Mefarshim explained, what our Gemara is teaching us, that the isser of using a dishonest weight is not part of the category of gzela, which the rule for gzela is a pruta. It's an entirely new isser that has its own shiurim, or actually better said, no shiurim, even less than a pruta is asur. Bechiddush. Continues the Gemara. B'mesura shloyar siach. That you shouldn't, if I'm selling you a liquid, I shouldn't cook it up. Because what happens is when I cook something up, before I sell it to you, it'll form a foam on top. And if I know how to pour it, I'll pour you a cup of something, and half of the cup will be foam. But I promise to sell you a whole cup of that liquid. So you now have to do something to create a situation where the customer gets foam, not liquid. So the Mefarshim ask, according to the pshat that we just quoted, that says that the limud of making, of putting your weights in salt is to teach us the less than a prut is also asur. We could understand these two dinim. The first din is to teach us that when you weigh less than a prut, that even when you weigh dishonestly, even less than a prut, it's asur deraisa. That's the first din of melech. And this din teaches us what Tosfos taught us. That not only may you not do it, as you're measuring, as you're weighing, you're not even create such a situation. But according to the other pshat, Tosfos' pshat, then we already know there's an issa to create such a situation of putting your weights into salt. So why do I need two limudim to teach us the exact same din? So I saw the Mefarshim answer very nicely. The first din is speaking about the weight. This din is not talking about the weight. It's talking about the object being sold, the liquid being sold. To teach us, it makes no difference how you prepare to cheat. If you prepare to cheat on the weight by making it inaccurate, or you prepare to cheat by boiling up the liquid that you're selling, doing anything that creates a situation of dishonesty teaches us the Torah is awesome. Continues the Gemara. The Kavachoyim. Oma Masur, Shime Echad Meshloish Meshishin Belug. If a Masur, which is only 36th of a log, to be the Torah love, that it has to be honest, Kavachoyim, Vahin, Vachatzin, Vishlishin, Vervisin, Vlog, Vachatzilog, Vervisilog, Vachatzi, Tomev Ochla. We'll describe all these Shurim in tomorrow's Shia. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yudam Rav. Osul Adam Shiisha Midach Seira, Yisera Betech Beisai. One may not have in his home a weight that isn't honest, even if it's used as an abit shmei reglaim, even if it's used as a urinal, and therefore it's highly unlikely that it will be used to weigh or measure something. Still, you never know, and therefore you're not allowed to have it in your house. Interesting tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak. We know that the bottles that they use for children have on them lines to show different measures. And he says that most of the factories that manufacture them aren't that accurate, that it should be really perfect. And Al Gemara just taught us how you have to be so careful not to have anything that could be used as a measuring cup in your home that isn't perfectly honest. So he says, are you allowed to buy for your children such a bottle without ascertaining that's perfectly correct? So he says, you don't have to. He says, something that was never intended to be used for measuring for other items, it's just used for the baby bottle itself, is not to be considered as part of the Issa of Al Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav. Papa, Loy Amar, this that we're so strict about not having a dishonest weight in our home, Loy Amar, Ela Ba'asu D'Loich Simi, where there are no seals, but if Avach Simi, Ava Asur de Chasima, if the place where there are inspectors, like we discussed earlier in the shiur, that inspect all the weights and make sure that they're honest. So now when I come into a store, into a house, it makes no difference. I have the obligation to make sure that the weight has been, the scale has been properly inspected and calibrated. Ava Asur de Chasimi, Iloi Chazi Chasimi, if I don't see the inspection sticker, loishakel. Furthermore, ba'asra the loichsimi, even if there are no seals, nam loimaron el loimahandasi, there aren't inspectors. Al mahandasi, if there are inspectors going around making sure that the weights are accurate, I don't have to worry. Less lomba. V'loihi, says the Gemara, zimna de mikri ben ashmashes. There may be a time that it's ben ashmashes, and there's two pshatim, I'll say it in a minute, or mikri v'shakel. One pshat ben hashmashes, which is the usual pshat, when we say ben hashmashes, it means Friday afternoon. So yes, I'm supposed to look for the seal. And if I don't see the seal, I don't see the heksher, I shouldn't use it. But if I come to the store, I come to your house Friday afternoon, it's very rushed, it's almost Shabbos. So I don't have time to start paying attention for the seal. And therefore, says the Gemara, even if it's a place where there usually are seals, don't have an inaccurate weight in your house, because somebody may end up getting cheated. That's one pshat. So according to that pshat, there's a nafkamina in a place where there are seals. We should rely on seals, but we can rely on the inspectors. But then there's another pshat. Bein HaShemashis has nothing to do with Friday afternoon. Bein HaShemashis has to do with every day of the week. Every day of the week it gets dark, Bein HaShemashis. And since it gets dark, and the seal apparently was a small OU, it was a small seal, you don't see it. So if the issue is out the seal, you can't see the seal. If the issue is that you're relying on the inspectors, then it doesn't make a difference if you can see the seal or not, you're just relying on the inspector.